Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome once again to another bonus episode of Kotaku Split Screen. My name is Jason Schreier. I am the news editor at Kotaku.com, and I am sitting in the hallway of the LA Convention Center with Kotaku's very own Cecilia D'Anastasio, who is here with me to talk about Super Smash Brothers. Cecilia, how are you?
I'm sick, but really hype.
Wow. Way to just start us off on a downer note. So you are the world's biggest Smash fan.
True.
You came here to play the new Super Smash Brothers. First of all, what did you think? Was it cool?
It's very cool.
You like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
So to an outside observer, aka me, seeing it and playing it, it just feels like the Wii U Smash Brothers. Am I wrong? Do you, as someone who understands the intricacies of Smash, does it feel really different?
Of course it feels like the Wii U Smash Brothers. I mean, Wii U Smash Brothers came out in 2014. Mm-hmm. You know, how much different could they make it in such a short period of time? That said, there are some subtle differences that I think will make a lot of difference to people who pay close attention to the game. It's a lot faster. There's a lot of goodies for competitive players, like directional air dodging, which is kind of cool. But overall, it does look and feel like Smash 4, which is a good thing for me because I kind of think Smash 4 is the best version of the game.
Why is Smash 4 the best version of the game? Why is it better than Melee, the one that everybody loves?
I like Melee too. I like all of them. That's my great crime against the Smash community. But I don't know. I think Smash 4 is easy to pick up. I think it's really deep. I think it's got a really fun and exciting character roster. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. my favorite character is horrible in Smash 4, Zelda. Yeah, it sucks.
Is she better in this Smash? Smash 5?
Oh, yeah.
Smash Ultimate?
Smash Ultimate. Smash Ultimate's the name. I was talking to Nintendo spokesperson Bill Trinan about Zelda. He said he used to be a Zelda main too, and he was really happy with the new version of her in Smash Ultimate. She's mm-hmm. like faster. She's scarier. She's not heavy and kind of floaty anymore.
Mm-hmm. And what about my boy Kirby? What's going on with him these days?
I don't know. You think I'm going to play Kirby here with my limited time?
Why do you hate Kirby?
I don't hate Kirby. I'm just saying it's kind of a noob move to just show up to the new Smash game and play Kirby.
Wow, that's rude. Rude to Kirby main Jason Schreier. So let me ask you something. So Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the biggest selling point that they have right now is that it has every character from every game. How exciting is that to you?
Okay. I think my opinion on this differs a little bit from other people.
That's why you're on the show, to give us your opinion.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping they would cull down the roster. I think Smash 4 got really inflated. As someone who plays the game a lot, I think it's fun to have a sense of the scope of matchups. And gosh, there are like 60 plus characters in this game. Who knows how many more? And it's going to be really, really difficult to understand how characters will combine and play together. I think it's really fun to learn maybe like 3 or 4 characters in a really, really deep way and then kind of understand how they play against like maybe 20 or 30 others. 60 plus is just a lot.
But the creation of this many characters seems more for the casual audience than it does. Like the hardcore audience, I imagine, will stick to a select group and you'll only see those. No? I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to balance 60 characters for hardcore Smash play.
It's possible. I mean, MOBAs balance over 100 characters for hardcore play. So
I don't think people use all of 100 of them in MOBAs.
In Dota 2, I think they do. They use a lot of them.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's possible, but unlikely. I'm really excited to see a lot of returning characters, though. I was really excited to see Snake.
Yeah, Snake is
super
back.
Fun. Yeah, Snake is awesome.
I was playing as him and just getting my ass kicked, though, unfortunately. I just don't know any of his moves anymore.
Yeah, he's tricky. I was really excited to see Ice Climbers come back.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's the one that people really missed.
Yeah, except pros hate Ice Climbers because they have this like infinite grab thing that's horrible. I don't know mm-hmm. if that's in the new version. I did wish that some characters were taken out. I wish Bayonetta was not in this game.
Right, you're a Bayonetta hater.
I'm a Bayonetta hater, but I think that's substantiated by the first Smash Ultimate tournament, which was Nintendo's Invitational. It happened yesterday. And in, I think, the semifinals, this pro MKLeo was playing Bayonetta and churned his opponent through this like inescapable series of combos that just flung him into the sky from not that much damage. And it was just like, it felt cheap to watch. Mm-hmm. It just like wasn't fun. The whole crowd booed. Like, hopefully they'll tweak the game so that's not possible in this version. Uh-huh. But that's a big problem with Smash 4.
So you were at the tournament yesterday, and first of all, so all the competitors who were there, the professional Smash players who were there, they were playing the new Smash Brothers. Did they all like have a chance to practice with the new game before it started?
They did. They did.
So they all got like embargoed, NDA'd access to the game like well in advance?
I'm not sure. But they did have some time to practice with the game.
Okay. And so they came in. So tell me what the scene was like when you actually went to the tournament.
Yeah, it's this like former sort of burlesque theater type situation. It's got this like reddish glow. It's like a very fancy looking theater. Mm-hmm. And Sakurai was on stage, the creator of Smash, which is really kind of wild.
MCing? Was he like hosting the show?
He introduced the game and excused himself saying, I have a midnight flight and I need to go work on Smash tomorrow.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. There have been stories about him just saying how he like gets like he hurts his wrist playing like working, and he just works all the time. And I think he writes a weekly Famitsu column where he talks about all the stress that he goes through as a result of Smash Brothers. It's really sad.
It is sad. I think Smash is an incredible game, so it's not for naught. But the scene, seeing him there was really, really special to pros, because pros, I mean, there's this meme among them that Sakurai just doesn't care about the competitive scene. And having him give the trophy to the winner, who is Zero, he's like the best Smash 4 player, but actually he's in retirement right now, technically. Mm-hmm. Having Sakurai give him the trophy was really, really special.
Mm-hmm. Did Zero like get emotional about it?
Yeah, he was effusive. Uh-huh. He was really excited.
Yeah, that's cool. And so there were 8 players, correct, in the tournament?
Yes, 4 from Melee and 4 from Smash 4. And they were all pros, which is cool because Nintendo could have invited influencers, YouTubers, whatever, but they invited people who, you know, make a living
off
this.
Actually play the game. Yeah. And so the 8 of them competed in, like, what was the format like?
It was a mixed bag. It was double elimination, okay, like a lot of tournaments, but some you know, matchups, they had items. Sometimes there was a Smash Ball. Sometimes there wasn't the Smash Ball. Uh-huh. The stages were kind of whack a lot of the time.
So wait a minute, was this like intentional or is it randomized? Or I thought the pros always play without items.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
So how did this happen?
I guess they're showcasing the game.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's more about like showing people the new stuff than it is about actually like having the most competitive atmosphere.
True, but the last few matches against between MKLeo and Zero were, you know, no items and
got
very,
it.
Very serious.
Got it.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Melissa Kirsch, editor-in-chief of Lifehacker.
And I'm Alice Bradley, Lifehacker's deputy editor.
And we're the hosts of Lifehacker's podcast, The Upgrade. On The Upgrade, we help you improve your life one week at a time. We talk to guests like former hacker Hector Monsegur about online security.
You need to be aware of how you could be attacked. You need to be aware of what's your weakness.
And Alan Alda on how to communicate more effectively.
And in order to achieve that, we start with teaching exercises derived from improvisation.
And sex therapist Steven Snyder about how to have great sex in a long-term relationship.
What really works under those circumstances is if you enjoy the other person selfishly.
Hey, your life? It's terrible. We can help.
Find The Upgrade wherever you get your podcasts.
And so you were also talking to the players while you were there.
Yeah.
And so what did they say about the new Smash? What do they think of it?
Everyone's really psyched. Everyone was so excited to play it. It was so funny.
Are they paid to be psyched? That's a question.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because they are there on Nintendo's dime.
Yeah. The thing about the Smash scene is that they're very grassroots and they're very independent. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo has traditionally not spent a lot of money or time supporting them or kind of overseeing what they do.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. Good because usually they express what they think. And I think that's a strongly held tradition in the community. I think they would have told me if they thought the game sucked. Mm-hmm. There were a few small criticisms, but for the most part, I talked to like 5 or 6 pros and everyone was really excited.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what were they excited about specifically?
They were excited about how fast it was. Melee is considered like by a lot of people to be like the most competitive version of Smash, which I don't know if I agree with. But it's definitely got a huge and popular competitive community. Making Smash Ultimate very fast, like Melee, and sort of unlike Smash 4, is kind of moving back toward that model. It's more exciting to watch. One-on-one matchups also do, I think, more damage between players. Mm-hmm. So that makes it a lot more hype to watch.
Is that a toggle, or is that just part of the game?
It's part of the game. People are really excited about directional air dodging, which means that you can air dodge, you know, left, right, diagonal, whatever you want. And they think that's sort of like this Melee technique called wave dashing, which is supposed to make the game hyper competitive.
When you jump in the air and you hit the dodge button and move like in the air.
Yeah, but of course, the great majority of people who are going to pick up Smash Ultimate aren't going to be accessing this stuff.
No, of course not. It's casual players who have a Switch and just want to screw around with Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this game so cool, because it has this huge roster. It has all of these Nintendo superstars. Mm-hmm. In the showcase, Nintendo was talking a lot about all of the cool Smash Balls and all the cool cameos from, you know, Xenoverse or whatever, which is going to make, you know, Nintendo fans really hype. But they were also talking about all these things that really appeal specifically to the hyper-competitive community. I really think that Nintendo is trying to get everybody with this game.
Mm. Do you envision, or did Nintendo say anything about like actually starting to put together tournaments and putting money into prize pools and that sort of thing? Because that's one thing that we've seen other esports companies doing. Riot with League of Legends, Valve with Dota, Epic with Fortnite most recently, but Nintendo hasn't really done that.
Not a lot, no. I don't have any sense of that. I think pros are really optimistic.
Was there a prize pool at the tournament yesterday?
I don't know.
So the new Smash tournament, so you're saying that it was mostly about showcasing the game and it wasn't about prize pool, that sort of thing?
I should know this. I don't actually know what the prize pool was.
Okay. And did it seem like, so you mentioned before that those Smash players all make a living playing Smash. They mostly make them off streaming, right? That's where they make their money.
A lot of players make money off streaming, off doing YouTube tutorials for different fighters. And then, yeah, tournament winnings definitely give players some money, but it's limited.
That's tournaments that are organized by like stores and other organizations, not involved with Nintendo at all.
usually they're not involved with Nintendo.
And yeah, I mean, it just seems like a way, like you said, way more grassroots competitive community than other esports.
Yeah, and I think that's really beautiful. There's like a tournament called Smash and Splash, like somewhere in, you know, middle of nowhere America, where it's like a water park Smash tournament. And that's cool. Like, I don't think Capcom would do something like that. Yeah, yeah. What do you think, though? You played the game. Did you like it? You're like a casual Smash fan. Did you feel like it was something that you could get really
into? It's impossible to tell when you're standing in a Nintendo demo booth and playing it in 2 minute sessions with time instead of stock, and you just have no sense whatsoever of how it actually plays. I also never used the Pro Controller, so using that was weird. And I don't know, I won't be able to tell until I actually have it. I'm curious about Ridley, though. What did you think of Ridley?
Ridley's really cool. Smash 4 had this issue where heavy, kind of bigger characters felt very unwieldy and kind of awkward. Ridley feels like tight and fast.
So
and
I should
good.
Explain just a little bit of context. So for years and years and years, Smash fans have always kind of jokingly requested Ridley in the game.
Yeah.
And Sakurai, the director of Smash, has always said, no, Ridley's too big. He can't be in it. It wouldn't work. And now, finally, after all this time, he has put Ridley in the game. Ridley is, of course, the dragon alien from the Metroid games who harasses Samus all the time. And it is, yeah, it does feel, I don't know, it, he actually did feel a little unwieldy to me, but I'm a Kirby player, so I'm used to being super mobile and aerial, I will say.
Yeah, I thought he was really, really fun. I really liked it.
Yeah, so the demos they have here don't have all of the new characters, and we're kind of assuming, at least I'm assuming, that they're going to be announcing new characters throughout the year in addition to all of the characters they have, because the only new ones they've announced are Daisy and Ridley, and Daisy is just a clone.
And the Inklings from Splatoon.
Oh, right, and the Inklings, yeah. Oh, yeah, I played as an Inkling. That was pretty cool, because you're spraying paint around the stage, and it seems like the paint can slow people down.
Yeah, and also if you...
Or ink.
If you ink somebody, then you can do more damage to them, which is really cool. There's, like, some deep strategy that can happen with the
Yeah, really
inklings.
Interesting. Yeah, it seems like a really technical character. It feels like Smash has recently embraced the technical characters. Like, Cloud, I think, is very technical, too. And Shulk, was it? Who's super technical.
Yeah, Shulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just overall, you're stoked about this one. You're excited to play it.
Yeah, I'm really stoked. And I'm also just thrilled to do whatever the hell, you know, I'm going to do to my Wii U when I get home. Like, does anyone have thermite? Like,
you're just going to destroy it.
No, I'll donate it. I'm not a monster.
But there's still Wii U games worth playing until they all come to Switch.
Yeah, like what?
I hear good things about Tokyo Mirage Sessions. The Wonderful 101 is really good. Tons of good Super Mario 3D World. Tons of good Wii U games.
Check
Kotaku's best Wii U game.
My Wii U was a Smash 4 machine, and I'm so excited to play probably my favorite video game on one of the most popular consoles of all time.
Yeah,
you know?
It'll be cool.
It'll be really cool.
Yeah, and I think it really is. It's sort of like the Splatoon to Splatoon 2 thing, where it was like sort of a sequel, but really just like an enhanced version of the first one with some new stuff. That's exactly how this feels, and I'm sure it'll be, once we actually get it, I'm sure it'll feel very similar. So yeah, I'm excited. So Smash comes out in December, and we are all very excited to play it. Cecilia, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Have a good E3.
All right, goodbye. Kotaku Split Screen is an official podcast of Kotaku.com. It's produced by Kirk Hamilton and me, Jason Schreier. Kirk edits and mixes the podcast and also wrote and performed our theme song and other music. We're a part of the Fusion Podcast Network, where Mandana Mufidi is executive producer of audio. You can find us on popular podcast services like Panoply, NPR Now, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts, and we hope you leave us a review if you like what you hear. Find old episodes at Kotaku.com/splitscreen or email us at splitscreen@kotaku.com.